The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
What is the DNA of God? All right? And let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. This subject, as I mentioned to you last week, and I'd encourage you, if you weren't here, to go look at it on the internet and pick it up, because I did a lot of background research and information about DNA, and we got some scientific information. And all living things have DNA. And if God is a living person, which He is, then He has His own DNA. And it's traceable, and you can discover it. He created us in His image. So therefore, we have the DNA of God within us. So in the weeks to come, we're going to cover a lot of topics. Today, we're going to address the one of the DNA of our Father. In other weeks, next week, Lord willing, we'll talk about the DNA of God as seen in His Son. Then we'll talk about the experiences of the DNA of God in His Spirit. And then the DNA of God at work in the church. And then lastly, and I say lastly because I'm never really sure about God's DNA reproduced in you. And we'll be talking about all of these things throughout each one of these sermons, but that's the direction that we're going in. So today we're going to address the issue, what is God's DNA as seen in the Father? What is that DNA as seen in the Father? And our text is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. And I've chosen the Message translation today. And as I tell you, I like to go around with different translations so you won't get hung up on any one. You can never say, well, we're a King James only church or NIV only church. So I like to mix them up. And this particular time, the Message just said things in a way that I thought would just really highlight it. So verse 15 says, we look at His Son and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. Wow, that's a lot to say, isn't it? Kind of gives you some information about God. Everything that exists originated with God. He is the origin. I've been telling you about my friend Dietrich Bonhoeffer that I've been reading and studying about in his book, a theology book called Ethics. He talks about the origin being God. It's the origin of everything, and that man radiates from that origin. And the problem that happened back in the garden was man cut himself off from the very origin, and therefore we have a fallen man, and it's always been an attempt to get back. Even as David wrote, he said, Lord, I'd like to get back. I've got this sin problem. I want to get back. A lot of the Old Testament is talking about getting back. The New Testament is a new covenant in a new way. We don't have to get back. We are back. We finally got back where we belong, to the origin. So we're back in the center where God always wanted us to be. So, but everything can't be seen about God with a telescope or a microscope. I mean, you can't just get a piece of His skin, more or less, and then look at it in a certain way. But everything that God created has His traces of His DNA in them. And I'm going to show that to you this morning. As I showed you last week, remember I told you to put your finger on the chair in front of you? You don't have to do it this week because your DNA traces are still there from last week. And they will be there, okay? Everything has DNA, and it stays. When you leave, you're like leaving a trail wherever you go. Your DNA is everywhere. Well, God's DNA is everywhere. And we're going to show you that this morning in some areas. But we're studying not for scientific information. You know, this is not a science class. This is not a university class at that level. But we are looking for traces of God that reveal His presence and His purpose in our lives. You know, the book is not to be studied, the book being the Bible, in order just to get information, although it's chock full of information. What we're really looking for is application. How does this apply to me? How do I live a better life? How do I know God in a fuller way? How can I do a better job raising my kids and being involved with my grandkids? Or how can I be a better mom or dad or husband or wife? Those are the things we're looking for in our day-to-day lives. And that's what the Scriptures do. And that's our purpose. And you'll see that that's God's purpose too. So today we're going to look for these traces of the Father as seen in all of creation. All right? And the first thing we're going to... It's exciting. You've never heard this sermon before. No, I've never heard it addressed in this particular way. Of course, my seminary professors convinced me that there's nothing original. You know, probably some guy back in 1563, you know, figured this out. I don't know. But I'm having fun with it this time. So, the first thing is the traces of the Father are seen in His creation. And then we'll look at Colossians 1:16 again. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels. That's a lot of angels. You notice there were three ranks. He could have just said rank, and he had second rank and third rank. He said everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. Everything we see has been created by God. Now, there are those who don't believe that, but there are also people who believe you can jump off a building and it won't hurt you. So, I mean, just because you can say it doesn't mean you're right. So we depend on the Word of God. Now, the Hubble telescope, y'all know what the Hubble telescope is, was put in outer space back in the 90s, and it opened up a panorama of information that we had never dreamed existed. And Jim Dixon let me borrow a CD he has by a guy by the name of Louis Gigliano, I believe it is. And he addresses some of those issues. I can't show you that video here. First of all, it's too long. It's copyrighted. I can't broadcast it over the internet. But I do have a short video that I want you to see. And those of you on the internet, we're going to show you some pictures, and we'll do a little dialogue along the way so that you'll know what we're looking at here in the auditorium. So, Jim, if you'll just crank up that video, and we'll see that right now. How big are the objects floating in the universe? Enjoy the following comparison. Earth versus Mars, Venus, Earth, Neptune, Saturn, Jupiter, our own Sun, Sirius A, another star, the giant orange, the red giant stars again, the red giant again, a bigger one, blue supergiant, blue hypergiant, red supergiant, bigger, red hypergiant, that's the largest known star right there. The size of Earth, which you cannot see. Gives you some kind of And it's a diameter of 2.8 billion kilometers. I don't need to know what that is. Think of a passenger airplane flying along the surface of the star at 900 kilometers per hour. It would take 1,100 years to circle it one time. That's pretty big. Yet it is only a tiny dot among several hundred billion stars forming our galaxy. And there are 100 billion galaxies out there. No, you are not the center of the universe. No, you are not the center of the universe. Wow. That's pretty big, isn't it? That is pretty big. That is just absolutely, this video that Jim let me see, just absolutely mind-boggling. Louis Gigliano talks about the immensity of space, and there is a, with the Hubble telescope, we need some lights, guys, with the Hubble telescope, they were able to see a galaxy the furthest one away that they were able to see, and in the center of it, they were able to see a black hole. What's amazing about it, and you really need to see it, I'm going to tell you, but you really ought to see it, and that black hole is in the shape of a cross. Wow. It's absolutely unbelievable to see it. And it is, I don't know how many hundreds of billions of light years away from where we are. But I wouldn't build a theology on that, but I got to say it's very interesting. He also went into inner space, if you will, and there are things called laminins, which are kind of the glue that holds everything together. They've just kind of recently announced this wonderful phenomenon. And under these super microscopes, they can show you what the composition of this laminate looks like. And incredibly, it's in the shape of a cross. Like, just unbelievable.
That's in our body.
Yeah.
It's the glue in our flesh.
Yeah, it holds us together. It makes the scripture about everything exist and consist in Him have a interesting viewpoint. Again, don't build your theology on that, but it's just interesting to see that. It just reminds me, it's in Romans 1:20, it said, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His external power, eternal powers, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made man, been made, something wrong with my lips up here, having been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that man is without excuse." I mean, when you see the grandeur of the universe that's out there spinning around, and we're in one little star in this one galaxy, and there are billions of galaxies out there, it makes the scripture that, what is man, O God, that you are mindful of him? You know? Question often comes up, well, is there other life out there? Well, I don't know. But I know this, if there's other life out there, there's still only one God, the creator of it all. Now, this is my opinion, and I love to give my opinion around here. It's my opinion, when it's all said and done, we're going to find out, in my opinion, we're the only ones. I just got a feeling. I don't know. It just kind of, there may be others, and I'm okay if we got, I just know that if they sinned, which they probably did, they're going to need a Savior, and there's only one Savior, all right? So we won't get into that theology this morning, but it's interesting that it all has a purpose in Him. The creation has a purpose. And the purpose is that you could know that God exists. You can see His DNA, if you will. and everything that was created. The stars at night, the moon that lights our planet, the beauty of a creation in a flower or a bird, just a tree, just looking around, you've got to say, wow! I mean, looking at a sunrise or sunset just inspires us. Men and women have written poetry and books and made movies about the things that inspired them. But to be inspired is not enough. It's inspired in recognizing that it's God who did it. He created everything. In the book of Genesis, it talks about the great creation, and the purpose of it all is so that you would know. Second thing I want to talk about this morning is the traces of the Father is found in His Son, Jesus. Found in Christ Himself. All right? And let's go back and look at verse 15. We look at this Son and see the God who cannot be seen. Think about that sentence for just a minute. We look at the Son and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son and see God's original purpose in everything created. God wanted to reveal His invisibility, if you will, so that we would have a way of looking at Him. And God is most clearly seen in Christ Jesus. That's what that passage of Scripture says. We look at this Son and see the God who cannot be seen. If you want to see God, you have to look at Christ. It is His only begotten Son. Scripture says that Jesus is the express image of His Father. Now, it's difficult for us sometimes to grasp that. In fact, the Bible says that He wasn't much to look at. He wasn't so handsome that you'd say, oh, wow, there's the image of God. But it wasn't just the cover of the book, if you will. It's what's inside the book. Amen. It's not just the shell and the frame that encompassed Jesus, but it was that inner Spirit of God that was in Him. It was His personality. It was the things that He did. It was the things that He said. It's the way He treated life, the wisdom that He poured forth from Him. These are the evidences of the Spirit of God dwelling in Him. Now, when we look at Jesus, there's several things we could see. First of all, we can see the love of God for the world. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, it tells us not to love the world or the things of the world. Well, we're not supposed to love the things of the world in opposition to our love for God. But it's okay to love the world when you love it the way God loves it. God loves this place. He loves people. He created them to love them and to have a relationship with them. And that's what we see in Christ. We see this loving servant who came. In fact, theologians tell us that one of the reasons the Jews originally did not receive Him was because they were looking for a conquering hero to show up. Someone to overthrow the chains of the Roman Empire, to set them free. But if they had read back in Isaiah, which they did, but if they had comprehended, which they didn't, because their eyes were glossed over, they would have seen Isaiah speak of a suffering servant, one who came to serve. And Jesus came serving and loving. He's the one who washed the feet of His disciples. And even they recognized that there's something wrong with this pitcher. Peter said, no, Lord, no, let me wash your feet. You know, but Jesus came loving and caring, and He demonstrated the love of God. We see God's determination to redeem the world in Christ. He was a man with his face set like flint to go to the cross. There was nothing that could deter him from that. The devil tried to deter him. His own flesh tried to deter him. The people around him tried to deter him. But he kept on a solid path towards the cross. But he demonstrated God's determination to redeem mankind from the sin of the world. He also, we see the suffering that sin caused in this Christ. We see his life innocently battered and bruised and beaten and just suffered in a way that no one should ever suffer. And we see that God's willing to suffer for the sins of the world. He allowed that to take place. Jesus said, no one takes my life from me, but he gives it freely. So we learn about God's willingness to deal with sin, that he loves us, that he was determined to do something about it, that he was willing to suffer in order to take care of this sin problem. And we see that God ultimately was willing to declare himself guilty of sin that we might be set free. He was willing to take sin upon him. He was willing to become sin. He was willing to become that curse. The scripture says that curse is everyone who hangs upon a tree. And Jesus hung upon that tree, cursed, rejected, taking guilt, sin. That was God incarnate showing us something about himself. Now, why do I say all that? Because you need to know how much God cares about you. So often we have these poor self-images of ourselves. We tend to look at our own flaws and we exaggerate them. You know, I saw a thing one time about one of the supermodels, and she was on a TV program and they were talking about how exquisite she was. And she says, yeah, but do you see this right here? And she pointed on her face, you know, that little flaw, you know. And the whole world who was watching would say, are you crazy? You're drop dead beautiful. And you're looking at that little thing. I'm telling you, that's the way we are. We find ourselves always going back to the garden and eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of realizing who we are in Christ and rejoicing in that. This is a time of rejoicing. We're in the new covenant. We're not under the old covenant of always being beaten down and everything pointed out. We're in a place now in Christ where we can rejoice. That's what this is all about. It's showing God how God cares and loves and has a determination to do something about it. Why should you consider yourself, you know, what drives me crazier than a loon when I hear people say, oh, I'm just a worm. You know, oh, I'm just nobody, I'm nothing. Well, to get saved and you'll be somebody. You know, you'll be able to rejoice in who you are. It's the only place in the Bible where it says that the angels rejoice is when a sinner is converted. You know, Jesus didn't die for fun. He died for you. He said that for the joy set before him, he despised the shame, and he endured the cross. And you've heard me say this before. What was that joy? It was you. You are the joy of God. You give great joy to God when you turn your life over to him and you say, I am a born-again believer, and you've been converted by the Spirit of God. That brings great joy into the hallways of heaven. Can somebody start shouting around here? I'm telling you, this is good stuff. And I've got a whole sermon I'm going to preach next week on this. So I didn't intend to say as much as I did. But to rejoice in who you are, don't beat yourself up. Say, sure, we all fail. We all fall back in our old ways. And we all have to deal with those issues. But they're just issues that are already dealt with at Calvary's tree. All of our sins have been washed away. Our sins in the past, the sins of today, and our sins of tomorrow are all under the blood of Jesus. Amen. They're all been washed away, taken care of. As far as the east is from the west. In case you don't know what that means, if you haven't heard that before, the reason it's so far as the east from the west, you can't go far enough east to get west.
That's right.
Or vice versa. Oh, hallelujah. Man, that's good stuff. I tell you, I get excited every time I think about it. Next thing I'm going to talk about is the traces of the Father are seeing in his very activities, in the things that he does. Let's look at verses 15 and 16 again. I've highlighted in yellow for you to see this. We look at this Son and we see the God who cannot be seen. And we look at this Son and we see God's original purpose in everything. His original purpose in everything is found in Christ. Jesus was not a cosmic accident. He wasn't here or just a holiday. He was here with a purpose. And that purpose was given to him by God the Father. He said, I don't do anything except that which the Father tells me to do. I do not say anything other than that which the Father tells me to say. Why? Because it wasn't Jesus' mission. It was God the Father's mission and God the Father's purpose being fulfilled through His only begotten Son, the incarnate Christ. And it's in Him that we see the revolution of the entire creation of the universe and the redemption of our souls. That was God's original purpose in everything created, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, is trying to paint a panorama for us that we see everything is included, including the angels themselves. Everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. It's in Him that there is purpose in life. People go through life wondering, you know, I have no direction. What am I supposed to do with my life? Where am I going? Why am I here? That's the reason people have no hope. They don't know why they're here and where they're going. Why do you exist? Just to take up space? Or is there a purpose? Everything created by God has a purpose, and Jesus had a purpose, and that purpose was to come and fulfill the very Word of God. And God acted on His own Word. He created everything by saying it. He spoke it. Those words became life. Those words became things that can be seen. God is not passively sitting around in the clouds of heaven wondering what to do every day. He is actively involved in the creation. He's holding it together. He's causing it to spin on its axis. He is intimately involved in your life. God stops thinking about you. You cease to exist. That's why He's thinking about you. That's why I love that scripture. We talked about it Wednesday night in the scripture that Reggie, by the way, Reggie did a good job Wednesday night. Those of us who are here will acclaim that. He did a really good job. I got a few things to teach him, but he's doing all right. No, I'm just kidding. But talked about one of the scriptures that we read. It's one of my favorites about God's thoughts are towards us are like the grains of sand on the seashore. Man, that's a lot of thinking. And those thoughts are directed towards us. God is actively involved. He speaks and acts and does. He's a man of action, a God who is involved in things. And His words have meaning. They mean something. When God says it, it means something. It takes on life when He says things. I got something in my note. I'm always afraid to say it. I thought about it, so I wrote it down. You know, even Bill Clinton figured that out. He said, what is the meaning of is? You know, well, it depends on what the meaning of is. It's no accident in the book of John. Oh, man, this is so rich. Maybe I just won't tell you. No, I wouldn't do that. I'm going to share the wealth. This God of action, this God of love, this God of demonstration of who He is, leaving His traces all around. John writes, he says, that this Word of God, the Word of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. Now you hang your hat on that for a while and try to figure that one out. That is awesome. That is great, Tommy. God spoke, His words became life. What is His word? His words were redemptive from the very beginning. And that redemptive word became Christ in the flesh, incarnate. And it says, we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Remember the Christmas story when the angels announced the birth and they said, go to Bethlehem. And they went and they saw that babe in that manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And they began to worship God, for they saw the glory of God. They laid their eyes on God's word and God's activity. God did not leave us alone. He didn't leave us in our sins. He didn't leave us with hopelessness. But he was actively and is actively at work in every one of our lives. By his Spirit, by his word. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:23 says this. For you have been born again. Listen to me. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God.
Woo!
God said it, that settled it. And what he said took on life in the form of that incarnate Christ, born of a virgin, lived on this planet, suffered, died, buried, resurrected from the dead. That word of God, that living word, active today in the world, for us, for everyone. God is not willing that any should perish, but they should all come to repentance, that we should be out bringing in the sheep, bringing in the goats and converting in the sheep. There should be that evangelism that takes place in a New Testament church to reach out to the world. That's what we're doing by the internet. Those of you watching over the internet, we have a purpose. We're reaching out to you. We want you to know what we have discovered about this incarnate Christ.
Amen.
And what God has done in him. You are here and you are born again, not of your own ability, but of what God was able to do, the activities he did in Christ. You are born again, not of perishable seed, not of flesh and blood, but you have been born by the word of God, which will never fail. Never fail. People don't have to worry about that. Sometimes you're so afraid. Oh, what if I sin? Hallelujah. Is your sin bigger than the blood of Jesus? Is your will greater than his will? Are your words stronger than his word? Absolutely not. It's what he has said. It's what he has done. It's his redemptive power that holds us, just as that laminate inside of you holds you together. The word of God, Christ himself, the Spirit of God, holds you together for all eternity. Paul said it this way, I am persuaded that which he had begun in me, he will able to keep until that day. You think Paul didn't have problems? Go read the book. Paul had a lot of problems. Paul had a temper problem. You know, talking about temper. Paul had a temper problem. He got ticked off. You know, he got angry. He split up with the guy. Said, I don't want anything to do with it. It did get restored to him later. But I mean, he was a man of fire. He was a man of purpose. But he's a man who had to fight things. He had his own problems. He had a messenger from Satan that drove him crazy. You know, he had to deal with things. But he was persuaded that Christ in him could hold him and keep him until that day. What is that day? The day when we lay down this earthly vessel and we take upon ourselves that great, perfect vessel, that resurrected body that God will provide for us. Through the message and purpose of God, we see his purpose in the universe around us. We see it through his Son, Jesus Christ, who gave himself that we might have life. And we see it in the things that he has done. You know, words are cheap in our society. You know, people say things and you can't depend on anything anymore. He used to say at one time, a man's word was his bond. You know, it don't mean much anymore. People say things, they don't intend to keep them. They just lie. You know, it drives me crazy when I see some of the stuff happening in our political arena. If people say things, you just can't trust them anymore. Say, who can you trust? It was that old Johnny Carson program way back when. Who can you trust? Nobody. The only person you can trust is Christ. You know, and those believers who will tell you the truth and be honest in Christ. All right. Last thing I want to talk about is the traces of Father is found in believers. It's found in believers. Let's look at Colossians 3:10. This is so cool. This is the message. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. All the ladies said, amen. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator. This is the part I like. With His label on it. Don't you love it? All the old fashions are now obsolete. Oh, I'm telling you, God did a great job. I had a custom suit made one time when I was single and rich. And I was actually working for a clothing store. And you could order a custom. Boy, they came in and measured me. And boy, they put that custom-made label in there. I tell you, I was a cat's meow. Yeah, I was probably 19 years old, you know. But I remember that suit. It was a continental cut, they called it. Instead of a little flap in the back, it had two little flaps in it, or a little slant of pocket. It was beautiful. I wish I had it. It didn't grow with me. That's the only reason I don't have it. But something custom. You ever had something custom made just for you, custom made house? You know, maybe you ordered an automobile and they made it for you. Maybe you ladies went to a seamstress and were able to get a, you know, custom made blouse or dress or, you know, something just for you. Unfortunately, some of us, you know, maybe we had our teeth custom made or, you know, so maybe getting our hair custom done. But, you know, it's personal. And what I get out of this is that it's personal. You know, it's one thing to know that God so loved the world. It's another thing that God so loved Fritz. You know, that means a lot more to you, Fritz. You know, that God loves you and that God cares about you. Just as a compass needle always points north to that magnetic north, so God's purpose always points to you. Always pointing to you. It is all about you. It really is. I know Rick Warren wrote that book, and in the context of that book, he said it's not about you. But and I know Rick Warren's a lot smarter than I am, and Rick Warren's got a lot more things going for him than I do. But I'm telling you what, I think he's wrong. It really is about you. That's what this book's about. That's what the universe is about. That's what the outer space and inner space are all about. That's what Jesus is all about. That's what all the things that God has done are all about. It's all about you. All about you. Jesus says you can't put new wine in old wineskins. He knew something about wine. All you folks who think you have to give up your wine to be a believer, get over that. Jesus never had the no wine place. He even used it in communion. But you needed a new DNA, the Holy Spirit of God. See, the old wouldn't work anymore. You needed something new. You know, just as there's the invisible God who can't be seen doesn't mean He doesn't exist. And in the same way, the new you with God's DNA, that new wineskin, can't be seen with the naked eye. But it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It is the one true reality. It is the one true reality that you are new in Christ. I love what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He said, we are a new creation. The King James uses the word new creature, but actually it's better translated. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things have become new. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. He didn't take junk and remake it. He made something new that never existed before. Just as the Word of God spoke and Jesus came into being, just as the universe came into being, just as everything came into being, God caused you to come into being as this new creation in Christ, filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the promises of God, filled with the direction of God. Reggie showed us a little video I'm just stealing everybody's stuff. Jim and Reggie's. I've got no originality about me at all. And he showed us a little video Wednesday night about these geodes. Is that the way you pronounce that? Close enough? Is that close enough?
Close enough.
Close enough, all right. Well, I don't have the video, but I wanted you to see a picture of what he showed us. And there they are. Look like what my dad used to say about me. You got a head like a rock. You know, that's about it. I wouldn't have those things in my house. I mean, they're just ugliest sin to me. I don't see any beauty in them at all. The color I don't like, you know, it's no smooth shape. I mean, it's just nothing that you would want to have it. But, as Reggie showed us, you put it in the right kind of a thing and you can crack that baby open like a pecan. And when you do, this is what you see. I hope that comes out well enough for you to see it. It's absolutely beautiful in color and crystal quartz on the inside of that reflect light. And if you've ever seen these, you won't find them in Louisiana or Texas or Mississippi or Alabama. You got to get away from here out west to see these things, and they're absolutely beautiful. Why did Reggie show that Wednesday, and why do I bring that up to you today? Because that's exactly what you are, a hard-headed geode. You don't look like much right now, I'll tell you. You know, we got lumps and bumps. I'm running around with one arm, you know. My feet hurt half the time, you know. My head hurts. I can't talk right. I mean, God's got a sense of humor. With this voice I got, calling me to preach is a joke. Reggie, I understand. He's got a great voice. Me, I don't get it, you know. Just God choosing the foolish things of the world. But, honey, you crack me open. And I can sing, and I can preach, and I look good, and I am absolutely beautiful because the incarnate Christ spirit and promises of God and God's DNA resides within inside of me. And one day, we'll crack these bodies open, and we'll see the glory of God that resides in every one of us. That's who you are in Christ. That's who you are. Why would you ever think so little of yourself when God thinks so much about you? You have those traces of God. Now, we don't see it all today. You know, the Scripture says we now know in part and we see in part and we understand in part, but there'll come a day of the great revelation when we're all caught up together with God and to meet Christ in the air, or we're called out of our graves wherever they may be, and we'll be together with the Lord and we'll see each other and say, "Whoa, Priscilla, baby, you were cute on earth, but you're a knockout now." We'll see the glory of God residing in every one of us. What a glorious thing it'll be. Hey, you got an amen back there. What an awesome, awesome thing that will be. We'll see Jesus. Now, listen, I'm getting way ahead of myself. But when we see Jesus, but where is Jesus right now? What did Paul say about us, the church? He said, we are the body of Christ, and we're that absolute completion of God Himself in us, the Spirit of God within us, the church of the living God. I am telling you that this revelation of God revealed through His DNA, the universe is majestic in its revelation of God the Father. You can't look at that film we just saw. You can't look into the night sky and say there is no God. You know, we talk about insanity. That's ultimate insanity, to think that there is no God, there is no creator for all of this, and His majesty is there. And we, I can't wait to see Him, to look upon His face. What a day that will be. What a day that will be. To see God in all of His glory. In this earth, all of our troubles, all of our concerns, all of our worries, all of the things that this geode goes through won't mean a thing. Won't mean a thing in the presence of Jehovah. Jesus in His magnificence is a revelation of God's DNA. That's where we go to. That's our go-to person we want to see. That's the one we want to run to, because in Him we see everything we really, really need. It's not enough to see the universe. We got to see the Creator of the universe in Christ. The actions of God reveal His purpose. His purpose is about you, and about you, and you, and you, and you, and all those who are watching over the internet. It's all about God's love and actions and activities towards you. Believers, those who believe. You know, back in the Genesis story, it says the earth was dark and without form. You know, darkness covered the earth. Spirit of God hovered over the earth. That's the way you were without God. Dark, void, formless, no purpose. But when you became a believer, the light of the world entered into you and lit you up, honey. Made you a Roman candle in the darkness. That's what He did in you, the light of the world in you. Created in the image of God. You were created in God's image. You look just like Him. You've got His DNA residing within you. When He looks at you, He doesn't look at the sin of your life. He looks at the redemptive Christ Spirit living within you. That's what He sees. And He fills you with His presence. So whether you sleep on your bed at night, driving in your car on the interstate, flying in a plane, down in a cave, in a hospital bed, or in a palace, wherever you may go, the Spirit of God is with you because you belong to Him as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The personal revelation of the DNA of God the Father is revealed in you day by day. Just look around and see the glory of God in those who believe. I had a story I want to tell you, and we'll end this sermon. Pat and I had gone to a couples conference. I needed some help in our relationship. And I'm serious, I need a lot of help. And there was a guy who was teaching and we were up there for several days, and we kind of liked him. He's a kind of cool guy, and he told a story. He said that he and his wife would pray together at night when they'd go to bed. And he said, and you know, being creatures of habit, he said, I like to kneel down by the bed. He said, my wife likes to sit in the bed, kind of Indian style, you know, with the legs crossed. And said, one of the rules of praying is that you close your eyes and you don't look around. I mean, everybody knows that. It's the first thing you learn in church. Bow your head and close your eyes, all right? That's what you learn. And he said, he had prayed, and it was her turn to pray, and she was praying. And he said, I broke the rules, and he said, I opened my eyes, and I looked up at her. He said, and there she was, sitting cross-legged in the church, in bed, in her jammies, and with her head bowed like it was supposed to be and her eyes closed, and she was praying. He said, and a great revelation overtook him. He said, that was not just my wife. That was God's creation. That was a real person with real needs and real wants and real desires and really a child of God. He said, and when I saw her that way, it changed the way that I thought about her from that day on. And when I heard that, I thought, what an airhead I am. You know, no wonder I got marital problems. You know, I keep looking at her as just my wife. And that changed me. When I heard that story, I started looking at Pat differently. I started realizing that she's just not the woman that lives with me. She is God's creation. She is something special. God cares about her and loves her and is involved in her life. And that I needed to treat her with honor because of who she is in Christ Jesus. And I tell you that because that's the way we need to take care of everyone, whether it's our husbands, our wives, our children, or other believers. But in the church, I'm repeating myself, but it's worthy of repeating. The one thing that Jesus said that people would recognize the fact that we were his DNA or his disciples was the way that we loved one another. Amen. Maybe we should do something about that, huh? Amen. Maybe we should stop all the hatred and all the bitterness and start loving one another the way God would have us to love him. So that's the close of the sermon, where we can see God's DNA, the DNA of the Father, in the splendor of our creation, in the majesty of Jesus, in the unparalleled reality of the work that he's done through his words, and the redemption of believers. Amen? That is a great sermon. I loved every minute of it. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. That's Seminary 101. It said that he that tooteth not his own horn, sometimes it be tooteth not. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you in the glorious name of Jesus for what you've done. God, let us be mindful of you today. Wherever we go, the places we may be, with the people we interact with, Lord, the visions that you place before our eyes, let us be mindful of you in our lives. Let us not be like those who walk through the world and never see its glory. Let us see your glory wherever we go. And we pray together and we ask these things together in the wonderful name you've given us, the name of Jesus, to the glory of God the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Next week, God willing, we'll be talking about the DNA is seen in his Son, Jesus. Woo! Amen. If you have special need of prayer or something, I'll be up here and I'll be glad to pray for you, okay?